following message was recorded at Faith Fellowship St. Pete in St. Petersburg, Florida. More information about Faith Fellowship can be found at faithfellowshipstpete.org.
I like what Bill said. He said it's more like the Three Stooges. Thanks, Bill. Thanks, buddy. Let's pray, guys. Father, thank you for just that laughter brings health to the bones. Father, that you are a God of joy. And Father, that you bring tears to our moments, but that you bring laughter to our life. And we just thank you for everything you do. All that you do, Father, is so good. We know that sorrow might last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Father, we know that your mercies are new every morning, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. And you said that if we abide, Lord Jesus, in you and in your word, that your joy would be in us and our joy complete. The abundance of joy is in your presence, and we acknowledge that today. So, Father, as we talk about the state of the church, which is in good hands, we are encouraged today. We are challenged to greater faithfulness. We are blown away by your love and grace. And we thank you for who you are and what you do. And we ask that you would bless this time, open our hearts to a further understanding of your word. Holy Spirit, would you move in us to love you with our lives and all that's in them. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you thank these two gentlemen for just... All right, so how many didn't get a Twizzler and would like a strawberry Twizzler this morning? All right, we got lots. Ray's coming around, making sure everybody gets a Twizzler. So, all right. Yes, please. Steve, I think you left your wallet up here. I'm probably going to have a good time with that. So I want to start off with this, that, you know, this really isn't the... I'm like, Roxanne, do you have a question? She's like, no, I just want a Twizzler. I just want to make the observation that this is more the uniform of the saint than what I was wearing previously. Does that make sense, guys? That really, you know, it says in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, it says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." You know, Jesus said to the guys when they were fighting over who was going to be at his left and right when he came into his kingdom, and he said, "Look, that's not for me to decide, but both of you will be able to drink the cup and be baptized with the baptism, but as far as who sits at my right and left." In fact, you know, when Jesus came into his kingdom, who was at his right and his left? Two thieves, right? And one that would see him in paradise. But, you know, we see the humility of God. And then Jesus says these words to the boys when they're fighting over who's going to be in charge. He said, "If you really want to be great, become a servant of all. And if you want to really do it, like, be a slave." That's what true greatness does in God's kingdom. So I just think that's so important that we understand. So today my goal is to talk about the state of the church. Have you ever thought about that? What's the state of the church? We try to do this around the time that the State of the Union is coming. And so it's important that we're reminded the state of the church. So I think in order to do that well, we need to be reminded of whose hands the church is in, right? Because here's what's happened in our current or our recent political climate is, man, we get a little anxious about who's in charge. Well, can I remind you this morning who's in charge? Can I remind you who's in charge, who's the head of the church, and that he's sovereign and he's there and he's seated for all eternity? His kingdom has already come. He's planted it inside of you, and it is he's not up for re-election in 4 years. All right? Right? So I need to get Mary Beth a one to put on her sign that says Jesus 2021, right? Because it's 2021 and forever. So I want to remind you of some verses this morning with that thought in mind. Look at Ephesians 1, 22. It says, "And he," speaking of our Father, "put all things under his," speaking of Jesus' feet, and gave him, the Lord Jesus Christ, our King, our now glorified King, gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body. And then speaking of his church, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And the expression of Christ's life and ministry as it relates to the Father. Jesus is the head of the church. And he is an eternal God present. And listen, isn't it good to know that Jesus, with all of his attributes on display as far as his love and grace and peace, his advocacy, knowing that he demonstrated the Father's own love for us in this, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, now purchased us, shared his inheritance with us, but you know, adopted us in, now we're co-heirs with Christ. I mean, isn't it good to know that he's seated in heavenly places and that we're seated with him? I mean, that is just good news. Listen to what Ephesians 5, 22 through 27 has to say about this. It starts off with, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, here it is, even as Christ is head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. This is such a great challenge to us as husbands. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself. Man, I remember the last time I meditated on this verse, the word that leapt off the page was gave. Gave himself up for her, that he, the Lord Jesus, might sanctify her. Talking about the church, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor. That is a future prophecy that will be realized. We will be perfected as he is perfect, as we stand before him and we see him face to face. This is a glorious promise. But until then, the Holy Spirit is working out his salvation in us. He's making us more like Jesus, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Reminds me of our time together last week. Colossians 1, 16 through 20, and again, reminding us of this principle, for by him, the Lord Jesus Christ, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, in all things they were created through him. And what does it say? For him. Do you know that you were created for him? That's our purpose? Through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him, all things, I love this, and in him, all things hold together, including the church, including your life. Hold together. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself. I mean, these are bridal conversations, to himself in all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. So what is the state of the church? Do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 16? This is what he said right here. He says, and I give you parts of 15 first. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Well, Simon Peter jumps in first, right? And he replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar, meaning son of Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven has revealed this to you. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock, meaning him and the statement, as you can look at the context, on this rock, what does Jesus say? This is what I want us to hear. Who's going to build the church? I, the Lord Jesus Christ. I will build what church? It's his church. Guys, that should bring great comfort this morning, great peace, great assurance, great hope. Right? He says, for I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. What is the state of the church? It is in good hands. And Christ is faithful to fulfill his word. So what is the state of the church? Well, I think as we look back over a very crazy year, we see a litany of things that have transpired, right? We went to online services. Man, I remember last year on Good Friday, I was preaching. Get this. On Good Friday, I'm preaching the Easter message in my bedroom, recording it. Strange year, right? Hard to get your heart wrapped around Easter when you're sitting there on Good Friday. But God's Spirit blessed it. Like, He's the one that brings the power and the perspective. But a strange circumstance. In May, we went to outside services. And you know, I was talking to Gina about this morning, because the worship team was practicing and Gina's out in the parking lot worshiping the Lord with the doors open so she could hear the music, because she wanted to be in His creation. And it just reminds me of the days we were out back here, and I loved it, because, you know, you're just able to look up into the clouds and worship, right? It was a beautiful time. But my favorite part was our neighbors, in some cases, were sitting at the end of their driveways participating in worship with us. Right? And we had folks marching by on the trail and listening, but some that came over and joined us. What a great time. What a picture of God working all things together for good. Such a great time. And then in October, we moved inside with limited capacity, and the challenges that came. Having to navigate through those details was difficult for all of us in this journey. But the questions we should be asking is, or the question is, what have we learned? What have we gleaned? What is God doing? Because what man intends for evil, God intends for good. Don't you believe that our glorious God was up to great things in that time? And I know that to be true, because He's good and He's faithful, right? I believe in the beginning of our time together, one of the things that He was showing me, I know I got restless towards the latter part, getting into August, September. But like in the beginning, man, it was just so clear that what the Lord was trying to communicate to us is, be still and know that I am God. Sit in my presence. You know, Martha was told one thing is necessary and Mary has chosen the better part and it will not be taken from her. Like, what is one thing that's necessary in the Christian life? That we sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus and the true vine and allow Him to flow His life through us. And I believe it was a time that the church was being called to His feet, being called to come into their secret place, into the cleft of the rock, and join me. And I feel like some did, many didn't. Many struggled with the winds and the waves during that time. But I believe that's what the Lord was trying to do. Along with this, I believe the Lord wanted us to slow down. Did we ever think that the world would ever come, like the entire globe would have its brakes put on? Like the whole, and it's like God was saying, man, you guys are moving way too fast. You're so busy, right? If the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. You know, we've heard that statement before, but like busyness is the enemy of intimacy. And I believe the Lord was just trying to slow us down, to help us to understand the value of margins, to keep in step with His Spirit and find a new rhythm that allows for a day a week where you can spend just a whole day with me, because I am your rest. And so I believe those are some of the things that I gleaned through that time. And then towards the latter part of that time, you know, I really heard that, I sensed that the Lord was sifting and pruning and refining the church, His bride. The vine dresser was doing what he does, and I experienced that myself. And I'm sure each of you tasted that to some degree. There's this sifting, identifying idols, you know, just showing what's really important. You know, just, and it really caused us to look strong and hard at our identity in Christ and what we truly value. So to answer what the state of the church is, we must first answer the question, who is the church? So who is the church according to God's word? And first, I would say those who are in Christ, those who have put their trust in Him for salvation and declared Him Lord by the way that they live and the way that they love. We're told, we looked at this a few weeks back, you know, we're His body, right? We're his bride. Don't you love that? That's my favorite connotation, that we're the bride of Christ. There's a wedding banquet that's coming. He says that he's preparing him for himself, right? This picture's all over the scriptures. The Father has given the Son a bride, and the Son died for his bride in order to make her radiant, that he might take her to himself. That's who we are as the church. This is the loving bridegroom that is working all things together for good, is sanctifying and purifying his bride and loving her into his image. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. I actually prefer tabernacle, because the tabernacle moved, filled with the glory of God, but moved. And I love it because it moved in a desert experience, a very dry, a very frail context. But the presence of God was with them and did miraculous things to provide for them, to protect them. And isn't that our experience? That the kingdom of God is within us, the power of God. God abides with us as he's promised. But we're living in a desert experience. We're not yet in the promised land. We haven't crossed the Jordan yet. But we know that we will, like Caleb and Joshua, right? They knew that they would, and because they did, and they put faith in God's word and promises, they marched into the promised land, and they were only two of arguably 2.5 million people that left Egypt. It took a whole nother generation, 40 years. Do you know the journey to Egypt, from Egypt to Canaan, is 11 days? You know why they were in the desert for 40 years? Disobedience. That came from disbelief. That's what the scriptures tell us. But we're the tabernacle. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then I love this. The church, who are we? We're the ambassadors of his kingdom, of his kingship. We're ambassadors. We're ambassadors. We represent a different kingdom on foreign soil, in some cases enemy territory. But we exemplify a whole different set of priorities and kingdom values. Right? And we live out those values in a context where, much like the burning bush, you are standing on holy ground. Do you know that you're that burning bush in the desert? You know, what do you mean, Pastor Colin? Well, what I mean is because remember what at Pentecost, what was over their heads? Tongues of what? In the Old Testament, he's referred to as the consuming, right? He's the purifier, right? That's his agenda. That's his heart. And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, don't you see that we're burning bushes that aren't consumed by that fire, but that we light up for his glory? That's who we are. It's a beautiful thing, but we're ambassadors. Are we representing our king well? Are we living out kingdom priorities rather than do we have a foot in the world? Are we conforming to the patterns of this world? Because we're called to be living sacrifices as an expression of worship. But in Acts 1:8, we're told that we are what also? The church is what? Acts 1:8, help me. Witnesses, right? We are witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. And here we are in a context where it's in the ends of the earth, and you're a part of that. It's an amazing thing. Can you imagine how the disciples heard that with their first century ears? Going the ends of the... Hey, last time I checked, there's 11 of us now. Ends of the earth. What's impossible with man is possible with God. Right? And we got to remember that. But we are called and empowered, clothed with power to be witnesses. And let me just kind of clarify. This is an obvious statement, but what does a witness do? He just simply tells his version of the story. We don't have to know the whole story. But we can tell our version of the story. And that's what Peter did in Cornelius' house. And in the middle of his, he didn't even get to finish his story. And all these Gentiles just started believing. And then the Holy Spirit just fell on them. And Peter's like, well, I guess they're going to have to be baptized. You know, it's awesome. Guys, we are also his masterpiece. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. That's how we got here. And then before he did that, he purposed us to do good works. So guys, you know why you were saved? To serve. That's what you were saved to do. In the gifts that you've been given, with the aim of what? Always, every gift is aimed at what? Love God, love people. If it doesn't have that aim, it's misaimed, right? And so, because that's what sin is, right? Missing the mark, right? That's what it is. So we are masterpieces and workmanship. But guys, I love this too. We're an army, but it's not a worldly army, right? Like, we've been given armor, Ephesians 6 says. Armor, we're equipped for this. But as was mentioned this morning, we're equipped in the helmet of salvation. Our minds are saturated with the gospel, the helmet of salvation. We're surrounded by the belt of truth. We've been given shoes of readiness to the gospel of peace, right? We've been given a breastplate of righteousness, like righteousness guards our hearts, right? And then we've also been given God's word, but it's not our sword, it's his. Right, I think so many times we use that sword inappropriately and we really harm one another, right? Rather than letting the Spirit yield and wield that sword, you know, through our lives as we speak the truth in love. And then finally, the shield of faith that extinguishes the fiery darts. Had any fiery darts this week? Guys, they're gonna come. We're in a war. Right? One of the things about being in the army of the Lord is, well, first of all, the good news is there's an angelic army that's around us and they got it going on, right? And so we're just the servants on the ground, right? But this is the thing, we're told not to get caught up in civilian affairs. Isn't that important? Paul says words like this, I have fought the good fight of, that's the fight to believe. Guys, when you were in a trial, your battle's not against flesh and blood. Some of you this morning are fighting with flesh and blood, with people. And really the fight is to believe God that I can entrust him to a faithful creator. I can entrust her to a faithful, I can bless rather than curse. I can love my enemies and pray. Like, that's what it looks like to fight the good fight of faith. It's, I can breathe grace because that's what's been done for me. I can forgive to the extent that I've been forgiven because that's what Christ calls me to in Ephesians 4:32. So like, but we're also a family. Don't you love these connotations? Like, and I mean, every one of them is genuine, authentic, profound. I mean, we're a family. We're brothers and sisters through adoption. Right? He's the firstborn among all creation, but he's the firstborn among his brethren. The resurrection, he's the first one, and that means there's more. You and I get to follow in his footsteps through the resurrection into new life. See, the best part of this family thing, though, is our Heavenly Father. I mean, Jesus said some crazy stuff, right? Like revolutionary stuff. No way, you're not going to, C.S. Lewis says, you can't put him in the category of good teacher. He's either Lord or he's a lunatic and a liar. And the resurrection declares that he's Lord and worthy to be worshiped and surrendered to. But he postures himself as bridegroom. and he invites us into his family and then he shares his daddy with us. He says, our father. He doesn't go, my father. He says, our father. How good is that? How good is God? So good. Let me tell you something else about the church. She's loved. Who's the church? I want you to say, I am. We are. Probably the best answer is we are. Because it's always we, us, our. Right? It's not me, my, I. Right? And so, like, I love that. You know, we just read Ephesians 5, but think about what it says in Romans 5:8. You know. That God demonstrated his very own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That was a demonstration of God's love. That's why I feel like when we do communion, one of the things that Jesus wants us to remember is, I love you. She's loved. She's growing. How do we know that the church is growing? And let me be very clear about what church growth is. Because Jesus seems to chase people away that aren't all in. Right? He keeps sifting the flock. Right? He keeps telling them to count the cost. He says, let the dead bury the dead. Come follow me. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. So if you're looking for a place to come and put your head down, a house and easy street, this isn't the place for you. Right? He let the rich young ruler walk away. And when they chased him and tried to make him king in John chapter 6, he told them, look, You just want your bellies full. And he came to be king, but not under those pretenses. Man, we must understand that the church, we're his. We've been bought with a price. We are not our own. Don't you love that? Don't you love that? And then what I love here is we're reminded in Philippians 1:6 of this wonderful truth that he who began a good work in us will bring it to completion on the day of Christ, the big D day of Christ Jesus. Isn't that awesome? That he's going to finish what he started. That's what he's promised. And that once you're his and sealed with the Holy Spirit, you're not getting away from me. You're my bride. I love you. I'll chase you down. Right? Here's the other thing. She is alive because he's alive. She's alive. Man, don't be talking about the church being dead, even though there's doors closed on 38th Street or 48th Avenue, whatever it is, you know, where it says church closed. Man, look, that probably wasn't the church of Jesus Christ. I know that's a bold statement, but you look in Revelation and Jesus says, I have this against you. And that lampstand is up to him to decide where it stays. And so let's understand that you know, when this is the best church I've ever been a part of in my life. I've served four churches and there've been wonderful people in that church. Glorious, but this is the best church I've, and I know I'm biased. I know that, right? I mean, I love every single one of you. But I love doing life and ministry with you. It's awesome. But she's alive. We're alive because Christ is alive. And listen, we are also called to be one. And it is over and over and over again in the scriptures. Jesus asked the Father for it. He said, and he asked it for it in to a degree that was like, what? That they may be one as you and I are one. And if we think that he was just praying for the boys, he was, but then he makes a very clear shift, and he says, I'm praying for the ones that will come from their ministry, just so you know it's you. It's awesome, man. Here's the prayer, John 17, 20-22. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in him, in me, through their word, that they may be all, that they may all be one, just as, this is the standard, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world, and here's the why, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Do you know that our unity and oneness actually declares to the world that he is the Christ, that he was sent by the Father? Do you know what, I'll give you the antonym of that. When the church is disunified, don't you know that the world loves to talk about that and point to that as an excuse? Whose responsibility is the unity of the church? Mine. Each one of us. We have to fight for unity. We have to lay aside our biblical rights. We have to lay down our being easily offended. We have to do what Jesus did for us and pursue, be a peacemaker. And do those things that God has done for us in Christ. The glory that you have, and this is what he goes on to say, the glory that you have given me, Father, I have given to them. You know what he's talking about? The Holy Spirit, right? That they may be one. This is the catalyst, the means of that oneness is the Spirit of God, that they may be one, even as we are one. Listen to what 1 Peter 3:8 says. It says, finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. As if that those are the characteristics that continue to breathe life into the humble and unified church. So what is her purpose, speaking of the church, speaking of us? What is her purpose? Jesus is, because we're Jesus' bride, one of our purposes is to be a helpmeet to him. Does that make sense? This is really what we're supposed to understand of the marital, like, ideal. Like, we're supposed to be our bridegroom's helpmeet in submission, right? It's a whole lot easier to be in submission, male or female, as the church, to a perfect bridegroom. I feel sorry for ladies. Sometimes that's hard, right? I mean, I see it. It's hard for ladies to submit to these fallen frail, you know, men that are able to make bad choices. That's tough. But ladies, let me say this. You don't do it unto the man, you do it unto him. And you trust God's word to work, right? And men, let me say this to you as husbands. Make it easy on your wife to submit. I hope you understand what I'm saying there. Be a man of integrity. Be a man of your word. Love her as Christ loved the church. Give to her the way that Christ gave to us. Make it easy on her. Does that make sense? Let us be men and women of faith. And let us live that out. But what is the purpose of the church? To be this helpmeet, to be the body of Christ. I mean, all of it translates, right? Like, we are the ones that submit to Christ, right? We are the ones that do it under, you know, under his leadership, willingly, joyfully, thankfully. That, you know, with the help of the Holy Spirit. She is also, what is her purpose? She is the body. And what does that mean? To finish what he started, right? Like, that's what he said. That's crazy words. Think about that. Jesus said, you will do even greater things than me. He was talking about scope, not impact. And so, like, literally, he left the earth with 120 people in an upper room, 11 disciples, and literally talking about that little mustard seed, a tree that would be gigantic at some point in the future. We're seeing that, right? And he says, you will finish what I've started. And that's what we get to be a part of. So what's our mission? Our mission here at Faith Fellowship and the mission, the co-mission of the church universal is this. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 says this, and Jesus came and said to them, in this point, it's 11 disciples. And he says, now listen to what he says. This is powerful. How much authority? In heaven and on earth has been given to me by who? By the Father, right? All the authority has now been bestowed on me. He's been glorified. Every tongue will confess. He is glorified, right? And it's all the authority. And so what does he do with that authority? Listen to what he does as an example to leaders. What does he do with that authority? He says to those he has authority over, he says, go therefore, because I have authority, go and make disciples of all nations. Guys, are you making disciples? Like that's not just the mandate of the church and some system. It is the calling of every believer. Ladies, pour into younger ladies. Men, pour into younger men. Like, ask God for a Timothy. Ask God for a Paul. Ask God for just the opportunity to pour in. And listen, sometimes it's done through just community. Like, everybody touching one another. Several men having an impact on a young man. Right? But I believe that there's intentional moments that God ordains discipleship opportunities. And we got to have our eyes open because this is the mission. Go, therefore. And that means as you go. Right? That doesn't mean everybody's going to Africa today. Right? As you go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. Every tongue, tribe, and nation is present in Revelation, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then here's something that's so wonderful and practical. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Guys, we don't have to teach them anything that we haven't been taught. I think so often we're hesitant because we're like, what if they ask a question? I don't know. Well, that's not what has been asked of us. And then here's the good news. God put his Spirit in us to lead us into all truth and remind us of everything he said. He said, I'll even put the words in your mouth. And I've experienced times where I've spoke on things I had no clue about. But it was like, wow, God, that's awesome. I mean, do we realize the power that we've been clothed in? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Just stew on that. That's amazing. And then he says this to them. He says, and I will be with you to the very end of the age. Like, this is the thing that God says to people when he wants them to do big things. He said it to Moses. He said it to Mary. And the list goes on. Right? And here, he says it to his bride. He says it to the church. He says it to those that are making disciples. He says, I'll be with you. And guys, that's our greatest confidence. Our confidence is, we can do this. No, we can't. We can't. But he can. What's impossible with man is possible with God. Right? Like he's going to do it. That's the facts. It's not that he can do it. He's going to do it. Do you want to be a part of it? That's the deal. And so, like, we have to embrace the opportunity that we've been given. So how? So in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, I mentioned this earlier, it says this, but you will receive power. You will receive power. They had yet to be empowered to the extent, you know, they had to wait 10 days. They didn't know how many days, but 10 days later, they're filled with power, right? And it says, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Do you think at Pentecost they knew that that's what he was talking about? I'm sure they did. It was pretty much an amazing moment, right? Now, everybody outside thought they were drunk at 9 a.m., right? But like, when the Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses. Was Peter a witness? How quick? Right? He said, he started quoting Joel and stuff. Like, we're talking about a fisherman here, right? So like, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, guys, he's just sitting down with the boys here before he ascends and tells them this. He's been on the earth 40 days, and in 10 days, the Holy Spirit's showing up, and he's saying, guys, you're going to have an impact on the whole world. And, guys, I think sometimes that seems daunting. But here's the thing. When we remember that he's with us, we're confident this is going to get done because our confidence isn't in us. So where? Well, it says right here, where? It's the ends of the earth. So let me share some things with you, okay? 10% of everything that comes into our church, because I'm telling you about the state of the church this morning, 10 things, we just finished, Sharon and I just finished the books for the year, and 10% of everything that came in plus went out, right? Went out. And it went out to missions. It went out to folks that are seeing the ends of the earth realized. You know what's exciting? Next Sunday, we're going to have Tom and Vicky Arabis here from Portugal. We're going to have one of our missionaries, our international missionaries, is going to be here next Sunday sharing what God's doing around the globe in Portugal. Isn't that exciting? Like, they're going to come and speak. I hope you won't miss that. An incredible opportunity. Make sure that you love on them. Make sure you get on their prayer list. Everybody should go up to them and say, you know, I don't want to overwhelm you this morning. I just want to get on your prayer list. I just want you to know that we love you and want to support you beyond our tithes and offerings. Right? Like, I want them to walk out. Here's what my heart for our mission, that when they come and join us and they walk out, they're encouraged. One of the things that Sharon and I want to do with our international missionaries is we remember how, like, Paul would send, you know, or like Paul was the missionary, right? What did the church in Philippi do? They sent gifts. Over a 3-week period, they sent 2 gifts to Paul when he was in Thessalonia. So, like, what we'd love to do is to not just send money, but send a person or two to these folks that we support around the world. If you're interested in that, see Sharon. I want to tell you about some of the people we support. Thomas Stallings, he's a campus minister. He's a missionary at USF. And we support him every month. New Life Solutions. Jerry, would you stand? I just want to thank Jerry for his leadership with New Life Solutions. That is not something he does as a duty, but that is deep, deep-seated, appointed in his heart. I mean, he loves that partnership, and he is the liaison for us to that ministry, Walk for Life, Passages of Hope, and the list goes on. What an incredible ministry it is. CEF, FCA, Samaritan's Purse. We partner with them financially to give in various ways. The shoe boxes. Miss Roxanne, would you stand up? I know you hate this, but this is a glorious lady that, you know, that if you don't know, she spearheads our Operation Christmas Child projects and has been doing that for probably 20 years plus. This year, some ridiculous amount, I think it was 227 boxes or just amazing, probably more. I don't know. It doesn't matter. but that God would get glorified and have the opportunity there. And so we partner with Samaritan's Purse with rebuilds domestically. We support financially, internationally, like with the Bahamas Dorian Relief, but also with the shoeboxes as well. Grace Falls is a church plant with folks that were part of our ministry in our past or friends that are in Atlantic City. And we continue to support that church plant. We have seven international missionaries that we support. Many of you are going, well, I thought we had eight. We did. The Kearns retired the first semester for the first quarter of last year. And so now, you know, Sharon and others that are part of that team are praying about, what does that mean? Do we give more to the seven? Lord, do you want to provide another younger missionary that we can start? Do you want to raise someone up in our fellowship that's ready to go somewhere? Man, if you're feeling a call to the mission field, like to go, and going to your neighborhood, going to St. Pete isn't what God's got planned. He's got something somewhere else. Would you talk to Sharon or I? Because we would. Do you know that some of our missionaries, Jim and Carla, for example, they literally came out of the church here, you know, the plant church here, the founding church here. Like they were raised up and went to the mission field out of our church. Ashley went to Costa Rica out of our church. Sissy went to Africa out of our church. I mean, these things, like, so if you're ever feeling called to something like that, man, let us pray with you. Let us join you in pursuing the discernment on that. There are brochures and of how to pray for our missionaries, who our missionaries are, all their contact information. You can connect with them, email them, which would be such a blessing to them. All that information is in the foyer and in the hallway back there. Adoption packages for all of our missionaries are available. In fact, they're all gone now as of 2 weeks ago, so we're going to have to do some more, which is a good thing. So coming up this year, we're going to have some mission trips. You know, I really sense the Lord's going to commission us to go to some of our international missionaries to send one or two people. I also believe that the Lord is opening a door again for us to possibly go to Samaritan's Purse domestic rebuild, and to as we've done 13 times over the last 10 years. And I believe that there's going to be an opportunity there. So, you know, there's going to be opportunities to be on mission together. It seems like maybe even during spring break this year, so teachers and can participate. So be in prayer about that for sure. And then there's this, and this is probably the bigger moment this morning. Do you know that you're a missionary because of the commission? You're a missionary. Go and make disciples. Do it right here in your neighborhood with your coworkers, your family. This is your mission field. You know, we put a sign out front that when you leave the campus, what does it say? You are now entering your mission field, right? We got to remember that. We come here to be edified, encouraged, to build up the body for the work of ministry, and then we're called to go out. Be careful you don't do it alone, 2x2 minimum. Like, we need each other. But, like, let's go out and be this missional impact that the Holy Spirit has empowered us to do. So I'm going to do something a little unusual this morning. I'm going to challenge you to maybe get out of your comfort zone, to answer the call. And here's the deal. Maybe it's just your neighborhood. Maybe it's your office. Maybe it's your family. Maybe you're sensing a call to go somewhere else. But if you would like to be commissioned this morning as a missionary, we're ready to do that right now. Right now. Because we've already been given the mission. We've already been given the authority. Jesus has already told us to do it. And so I'm ready to pray for you this morning. So if you are feeling like, you know what, I really want to step up in the area of being a missionary in my neighborhood, my family, with my coworkers, or I'm sensing I need to go and be this light into a dark world. If that's you this morning, would you just stand? We're going to pray for you. We're going to commission you right now, today. It's awesome. I try not to cry. Man, it's awesome. Guys, can we pray? Father, I thank you for these men and women that have taken your call. They have sensed the impression of your passion and purpose on their heart, and they have desired to be an impact in their context and beyond. Father, would you empower them? Would you resource them? Would you speak with clarity? Would you help us as a church to come alongside, whatever that means? Would you render them fruitful in every endeavor to just honor you in this commission, in this moment to go and make disciples of all nations, trusting that you're with them to the very end of the age? Father, I pray you'd bless each heart, each one that has stood ready to answer the call. I pray you'd bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you celebrate this morning, please? So this is what I believe, that you are the evangelistic arm of the church. A lot of churches try to do evangelistic programs. I am not a fan. I believe that people come to the church through a relational bridge. Like you build relationships within the context of your mission field, and as you love people into the kingdom, they come into the church because they have a relationship with you, which you have shined the light of Jesus, and they want to know more. And guess what? When you bring them to the church, and why do you bring them to church? Yeah, maybe to hear the gospel, to hear the teaching, but to experience the full gifts of the body. So that the church joins you in reaching this precious soul. You are a witness, and you are now and always entering. You know, this is a verse that I love, that for me, this is the verse I think of when I think of evangelism. Listen to what this says. This is 2 Corinthians 5:17. You know this verse because of new creation, the old is gone, behold, all things are new. But listen to what it goes on to say. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, just to explain this ministry, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ. Now, listen to this. This is awesome. God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Don't you love that? That is the mission of the church. That is the commission. That is the heartbeat that we are ministers of reconciliation. If you've been with us for any time, you know that we refer to ourselves as an A2 church. This comes out of Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47. And in that passage, we're told to be devoted to God's word, to God's people, to prayer, and to the breaking of bread. And I believe that that's not only communion, that speaks of rich, intimate fellowship with one another. And then it goes on in verses 43 to 47 to describe like what this looks like and what they were doing. Daily, they were meeting together in each other's homes. They were selling property and possessions in order to lay resources at the feet of the apostles so that they could provide for the needs of the saints. They were living in such a context. They were gathering together in their homes daily and breaking bread together, right? And then it says, because this was their heart and intention, this was their practice, God was adding to their number daily those who were being saved. Who was? God was adding to them, because that's the one who does the adding. You know, he is the one. And so I read this to you. Listen to what it says. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. And it doesn't say to fellowship. It says to the fellowship, meaning one another, right? And the breaking of bread and prayers. And all came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done by or through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple courts together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. In our hallway, we have an A2 board. The purpose of this board is if you've got something that you don't need, you write it on that and you put it on the board. If you have something you'd like to share, you write it and you put it on the board. And then someone comes along and says, oh, I need that. That's great. And just put your phone number and then, you know, that happens. The other side of the board says, I need, right? I need this. I really have a need for this. I have a need of prayer for this. Or whatever it is. And then maybe that someone goes, oh, I have one of those. I have some of that. So we should walk by that board, not just to go to the restroom, right? You know, just to make sure that, you know, maybe there's something that I can do, or how God might use me. So I'm gonna move to our vision. Our vision is this, a place to come to life. I just want to be clear that the word life there is Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But people understand when people are looking for a place to come to life. And we know that life himself is Jesus Christ. So Jesus said to him in John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Then we speak of ourselves as having a C4 approach to discipleship or ministry. So C4, it's an explosive thing, right? Like that when we hope the same for this dynamic approach to discipleship. And the truth is, we didn't develop it. We just gleaned it from Jesus' approach in ministry. It's just what he did. And so the first one is come. And the second is connect. And then third is covenant. And then finally calling. So come. This is what Jesus did throughout his old ministry. Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said to John and Andrew, he said, come and see, right? They said, where are you staying? He said, come and see. He said to guys that were fishing, he said, come what? Follow me. Jesus was always inviting people into relationship. And that's exactly what we should be doing and for others. It's just inviting them to come. It's a simple invitation to come and be a part of a family that's filled with love and home and care. For us, C4, this is a biblical blueprint modeled by Jesus and followed by his church. It is a discipleship process that gives individuals opportunities to grow into maturity in the Lord. It is also a journey which allows people to enter in and grow at their own pace. Have you ever gone to a theme park really for the first time? And you're looking for one of those boards that has the red star that says you are, right? Because you need to orient yourself to this experience. It's the same thing with what our C4 is meant to do. It helps you to come into the process going, okay, you know, I don't need to come. I'm already in. I know Jesus. I just want to know a little bit more about what this church believes and what they're about. Well, then the next step is connect. And isn't that what we want that's what God wants. He wants people that come to connect with him and his body. I'm the true vine. That's what he wants. He wants us to be connected to Christ. And so the next piece in our C4 is connect. Four times a year, we offer, the next one's coming up on April 18th. We offer a class on Sunday morning, in this case, before church. At 9 o'clock, we just had ours 2 weeks ago and had a wonderful turnout, great time together. And we basically go over these components, right? The purpose of the class, by the way, is information, clarification, and unification. But the topics are, what does A2 mean? Helping us to understand a picture of living love for one another, our mission, our vision, our yearly themes, our values, what we believe. Baptism, membership, leadership, our church history. The pastor shares his testimony and his heart. These are the things that we cover in that class. And then there's an opportunity for folks to join in membership with us. This is something that we spent 3 years processing through the scriptures to glean what we understand the scriptures are speaking about in Paul's letters. And it's covenant. And in this, I'll read this to you. Our next C is covenant. And before we can covenant with a local body of believers, we must first enter into the new covenant through Jesus Christ and follow through with him in baptism. So we offer this twice a year after a connect class. And our next covenant class is starting on the 28th of February. And it's going to meet at Sheba and I's home. And for 3 consecutive nights, we're going to talk about who is God, who is the church, and from a biblical perspective, who's the world? And then we're going to talk about what is covenant as we journey through all of that. And so that opportunity is coming up shortly. And then we've just met as leaders recently. And rather than having a membership dinner twice a year, which the dinner can be somewhat challenging, we're just going to have, instead of twice a year, 4 times a year, we're going to have members meetings. And Those meetings, we're going to talk about membership matters. Not that it matters, but there's matters to membership. So ministry moments, new members will be introduced, staff updates, all of those type of things. On the other side of that opportunity, you are eligible to participate in a program that we offer called Discipleship Essentials. This is a 26-week course that you would wander through with the same gender in groups of three or four, with an individual that's done it before, not as a leader but a participant, and the purpose of this is to really dive deep into some real principles like quiet time and prayer and then later on adoption and these things that it's so important that we understand. But the goal is that that you would do intimate life together and you get to know like a small. Jesus had circles, didn't he? He had three guys that he called a little closer. Several times he did this. Mount of Transfiguration, Garden of Gethsemane. We see this. He had a circle of three, the next circle of nine, and then he had the crowd, and then he had the community. So, I mean, I think there's a model there for us, and that's part of why we do this, is where we know this will help create a deep, intimate relationship, brothers and sisters, but it also, we get into some things that we need to understand and talk about. And then our final C is calling, and this is our leadership course. This is our leadership track. This is where people move forward into elders and deacons and opportunities to serve in leadership throughout the church. So another thing we do here is we do annual themes. Our annual theme it comes to fruition because our leaders gather in the fall every year, October, November, and we pray and fast and ask the Lord to show us what it is he wants to do in the coming year. Just seeking the Lord for his plan so that we can walk in his plan and not ours. And it's been wonderful. Last year, what was our theme last year? Radical surrender, right? I'll give you some of the things that we've done over the years. Live to give. Each one, reach one. Live, love. Devoted. Saved to serve. Faith in action. Bless as an acronym. We remember that one. Living loved, 2019. And then this year's theme is what? Fearless faith. Right? Fearless faith. And that's based on this verse right here. I love this verse. Listen to what it says. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by waters that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought. Doesn't this sound a lot like our context? For it does not cease to bear fruit. So this is our theme. And what we're going to do is at the last Sunday of every month for the rest of the year, we're going to preach a sermon in order to make sure we don't lose our traction on this. We're going to preach a sermon over, there's so many examples of fearless faith in the Bible, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel. I mean, the list goes on. David standing before Goliath. We're going to the last Sunday of every month, we're going to preach on one of these wonderful characters and how they exhibited fearless faith. We have a new leadership structure in the last several years. I want to mention that to you this morning. So we see that Jesus in John 21 told Peter to do two things. He asked him if he loved him three times, but then he told him to do what? To feed, right, lambs and sheep, and to do what else? To care for them. To feed and care. That's the two things that he called a guy that he clearly called out as a leader to do, to feed and care. So we have two basically structures within our leadership, and the first one is lead and feed. And that particular component, it does those two very things. Both clarify themselves by their title. And so it's leading and feeding. It focuses on teaching and preaching and discipleship and those things that are so critical to feeding the body. I would ask Rob if you'd stand. I want to identify folks that you need to know. Rob is a member of our teaching team. He is also in process to be an elder. You'll see that over the next several months, he's going through his ordination, and that's going to be exciting. You'll get to be a part of that, and he is a blessing. He preaches at least once a month, and so I know you guys know and love Rob. Would you give Rob a hand and just thank him? He is awesome. Buck is not able to be with us right now because The boys are in quarantine. So Diana's here sharing her gift of music, and Buck is with the boys at home. But Buck is also our student minister. He leads a life group, and he is also a member of our lead and feed team, and is also in the ordination process to be considered for an elder. And so would you celebrate Buck so Diana can say we love Buck? Absolutely. Jerry Hurd is also a member of this team. He is a deacon. He leads Overcomers, which is a 12-step scripture-based, believing that only God can change lives program. On Tuesday night at his home, he also does our New Life Solutions liaison piece, as I mentioned earlier, but is also a member of our lead and feed group, as well as a chaplain. So would you please give Jerry a round of applause? I'm privileged to be a part of that, and Dennis Taylor, who is an elder emeritus, served as an elder in our church for 16 years. Dennis isn't with us this morning, but we treasure Mr. Dennis. Is he serving in the back? No, not able to be here today. Well, we need to keep Mr. Dennis in prayer, but he is a treasure to our body, as many are. And then we have two that are on the radar as leaders, so be in prayer as well. We also have a care component, as I mentioned, and underneath that care component, we have six care couples. Each care couple has charge over a portion of our body to look after them, to care for them. And this comes out of Exodus 18. Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, or Raul, depending on which language you want to look at, he came to him and he said, you know, this is his words. He says, Moses, what you're doing is not good. He says, you're going to wear them out. In other words, waiting here for you all day. And you're going to get worn out in the process. And basically he tells them to make, you know, have leaders over tens, fifties, all the way down to 10 people. And so that's the premise behind that. And so I'm going to ask our care couples to stand up. Marty and Lisette, John and Mary Beth, Ray and Mary, Buck and Diana, Jerry and Leanne, and Sheba and myself are care couples. And would you celebrate these folks? So every single one of you has a care couple if you are a member of the church. If you've been with us any time, you know, for any length of time and you've yet to be a member, but you've kind of participated in life group, you probably have a care couple. But the hope is that once you're a member, you will have, I mean, that's a guarantee. You'll have someone that is assigned to just, well, here's the best part of being a care couple. The chief responsibility of a care couple person is to pray for their people every day. If we do nothing else, we're praying for our people every single day. And I love that. As I wrap up here, I want you to be aware of our staff because there's been some changes. Our tech team director is Bron Zimmerman, and he does that from Orlando, Florida. It's amazing how he gets it done. He put the finishing touches on our video this morning and added all the sound effects and the little captions and, you know, the things that make it really amazing. Please let Bron know how amazing he is. We have a couple of new members. Mary Phillips is in the back. She is our AV director now and handling all of that back there. So thankful for her. Sharon Ballard is now in charge of the financials as a CPA and bookkeeping and those things. So thankful for Miss Sharon. Of course, you know Buck Mills is our student ministry director along with his precious wife, Diana. And so thankful for each of them. My precious wife wears a couple of hats. She is with Lisette transitioning to being working from home. Sheba is kind of doing that position within the office. So she is pastoral assistant. She's got a little experience with that guy. And she's also our children's minister and wears a lot of caps in that. She's a blessing. She's amazing. She does have some help on Wednesday nights with Miss Bree and many. If you're a volunteer in children's ministry at any capacity, including you, Jack, because I know VBS was your deal, man. Like, if you volunteer with children's ministry at any point, will you just stand? I just want to thank you. Please stand, because I'm just so thankful for all the folks that help out with children's ministry. And I know there's many more because I see all of you and you're not standing, but thank you. I know on behalf of my wife, thank you for your part in that. Guys, how many of you are thankful for our worship team? Like, wow. Marty is our worship leader and director. Such a blessing. So passionate about what he does. We have Richard and Ken and Steve and Diana and Lori and Miss Margie, Rob Harlan, and then the maestro in the back right there. So let's give thanks for our entire team there. They're amazing. Obviously, Lisette is our pastoral administrative assistant, and she does an amazing job with all that's going on there. Please also know that one of our volunteers, but he feels like staff, is Steve Oppel, who runs our recordings and our website and does a marvelous job. They are traveling this weekend. John Gable is our maintenance man. He is our engineer on campus. He is incredible, kind of takes care of things around the campus. We have Sally and Lisa, who really make this thing go. I'm just going to say that this Sally is amazing. Like, if things are clean, Lisa and Sally are making it happen. So you guys are a blessing, and we are so thankful for you. They are truly, I call them our custodial engineers, and they are getting it done. So ministry leaders, women's ministry, Miss Colette is recently stepped down. So I want you to know that, because we need to encourage her and love on her. She's got a lot of health stuff going on in her family. Her dad, 90 years old in Kentucky, and then they just moved her from HR director at the city of St. Petersburg or St. PB to another position that requires a massive amount of training, and she's just, bless her heart, she's just overwhelmed. So Sheba and Lisette have stepped in that regard, but I want to let you know that there are positions available for ladies in women's ministry. So I'm not looking at anybody's. So like step into those opportunities, because they're it's there. So but please reach out to Colette, pray for her, celebrate the decade plus of ministry that she has helped to lead there. Please. There's a breakfast coming up for women in the near future. Keep your eye out for that. So that, much like, you know, the men are having just such a great time together, it's not fair. So, ladies, it's coming. Guys, would you celebrate Mr. Rob Butes, our welcome man? He is such, you know, everybody always says, like, man, he is perfect for that job. He's our deacon of welcome ministry and just does an amazing job. He has lots of help. Ray and Mary, Jerry and Lisa, Matt and Lori, Alex. There's so many that help out because they just want to be in the foyer loving on you. So I love that. Speaking of Alex, Alex is the one that kind of makes sure that communion is taken care of. He treasures that opportunity, is so prayerful and so diligent in that. He's also a chaplain. And Alex, we are seriously thankful for you. You're amazing. We're hoping that Awana's going to kick off again in September, Lord willing. And if it does, we know that Brandy will be a big part of that. So, Brandy, we thank you for your passion and leadership for Awana. That's amazing. Marty mentioned earlier about how people are always willing to share meals, delicious meals. I don't want any more adversity for you, my brother. But please send meals to Marty anyway. But I'm just thankful for Miss Judy, for Leanne, and for Jen Zim, man. You guys are hospitality, like, you are just a gift. I've already mentioned this, but there's another hat that Miss Sharon Ballard wears. She not only does finance and our international ministry to our missionaries, but she is also our senior care team leader. We have other folks that are looking to partner with that, and I'm excited about that happening soon. But please, if you're interested, this is our senior saints, 70 and over. They're already assigned to a care couple, but we want to put another layer of care there. And so I know Dolly, you and Glenn are just, every time I talk to somebody, like, oh, Glenn and Dolly came and visited. I'm like, you guys are awesome. So thank God for you. But guys, you know, if you have a heart for our senior saints, please talk. Sharon, would you just stand for just a moment? Please, so thankful for you, Sharon. You're such a gift. That's my big sister there, and I love her. Joseph Tavares is our Levite ministry. Like, if you look around the campus and there are, like, the back fence line is cleared and there's trees that are trimmed, and there is stuff that's been done, you can count on the fact that Joseph's been a part of it, and Marty too. Like, these guys are the guys that are helping to make the campus, you know, clean and beautiful. And so would you guys just thank God for these two men? Just so grateful. Grateful for them. Sandy's not here today, but Backpack Ministry happens through Sandy Gable, and she's also on the finance team. She's amazing. I want to mention that we're going to have some openings coming up. One of them is an assistant pastor that we're going to be looking to hire in the spring. Men's ministry director, that's a volunteer deacon opportunity that I'm looking to step out of and empower someone to just lead our thriving men's ministry. And then outreach. I really feel like that's an area that we really need to grow in. As far as just, you know, going down to the downtown market on Saturday mornings and just giving out water and, you know, in Jesus' name, or standing out here on our beautiful trail and giving water to people as they come down the trail and just being open to a conversation. There's a lot of opportunities, but we need someone that would be willing to embrace that. Well, the State of the Union or the State of the Church is not complete without an economic update. So we're drawing close to the end here, and I want to tell you that we always leave this is just not a priority in our church. I'm just going to say, like, we have a giving box. It's in the back. We believe it's an act of worship. We believe that you should give generously, that those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly, that God wants joyful givers. I believe that we should be lavish givers when it comes to God, for sure. And it is an act of worship. And so we don't pass the plate. We think that that kind of promotes reluctant, compulsive giving. And so it's an act of worship in the back. We have this year, because of COVID, added the online giving option. If you're a member, you can do it through a check. We prefer that because it's only a 50 cents charge for that. I only say that because it's stewardship. But when you do it through credit card or debit card, it's like 3% or something. So, I just want to see every resource go to God's glory and his kingdom. So I want to tell you that our church economy is healthy. And what do I mean by that? We have been and we are convicted about the fact to be debt free. We are debt free to the praise and glory of God. I also want to mention that our income in a very crazy year actually slightly exceeded our expenses. So isn't that good news? Thanks be to God for that. Even in the midst of that as well, our reserves were fully funded. So we didn't even have to cut back on not putting our reserves, which we put in place for, you know, things that might come up. Buck came on staff. Sharon and Mary came on staff part-time. These are all just celebrations. Some of the renovations that took place during this last year, the asphalt parking lot was resurfaced. Thank you, Marty. He kind of led the way on that project, as well as the project to replace the roof on 117, which is, we own the house at the end of the driveway here across the street. It used to be our office. We have missionaries that stay there, Bruce and Nancy. And the roof was replaced and needed to be replaced this year. Marty oversaw that project as well. Miss Sally cleaned all those chairs you're sitting in, one by one, and the carpets in the facility. Thank you, sweet Sally, for doing that. And because of Bron and John Gable's efforts early in the year, we have Wi-Fi across the entire campus. One of the things that I really celebrate is because we have an account that's specific to giving that came through for ACs, and we had reserves in that. We were able to replace that entire unit for the classrooms and restrooms. That whole unit was replaced also during COVID. So to the glory of God, right? That's those are great things. Guys, tons of opportunities when it comes to life groups. If you're not in a life group, I don't know that you can really connect intimately. Like, you can come in on Sunday morning, we try so hard to connect, but this is just, it's hard. You got to get into rich, intimate fellowship. Lots of opportunities. Look on the website for those opportunities, and please plug in. As Bron mentioned in the announcements, coming up on the 21st of February, we're going to have two more life groups starting on Sunday morning. Our Get Ready study at 9 o'clock is going to get going again, which is, it covers the text that we're preaching on that day. And then the youth ministry is going to be kicking off their Bible study in classroom 2. And so I think it's going deep. Is that right, Diana? Maybe. Okay. So that leaves you hanging. So think about that. Couple events. And as I wrap this up, a couple events I want you to be aware of, that are coming up. So several weeks back, we were at capacity, with social distancing and all that. We have a certain amount of capacity for our space. So it got our leaders talking about what are we going to do? We don't want to turn anybody away. So one of the things we did in the nursery is we've turned that into an overflow room. So there's 10 additional seats in there, and the sound goes right in there. And with the lights off, they can see everything that's going on out here. If anybody has concern and doesn't want to be in the general populace, you know, they can sit in that space in there. But that still doesn't really take care of, you know, not wanting to turn anyone away. So our leaders have decided we are going to kick off a 6 o'clock Sunday night service. So, and we are very excited about this. This service is going to really make a very concerted effort to aim at a younger demographic. So the music and the approach of that service will be a little different. I would encourage you to come out. We're going to really count on you to help kind of create critical mass and populate that service, because it doesn't make sense if everybody stays here. That's the purpose is we're trying to loosen up both services so we can allow you to be the come and invite friends and family and folks in. So we will be looking for ministers or servants to be a part of that Sunday night service. 6 to 7:30 is our aim on that, and let's be reminded that every member is a minister as well as a missionary. Last thing I want to share with you, our elders about 9 years ago decided that the pastoral staff should have a sabbatical at some rhythm, at some interval. There should be a sabbatical in the pastoral rhythm. This year would be 14 years for me, praise the Lord, here, and I'm so thankful for that. What we have talked about in leadership is that there is going to be a sabbatical for the pastor, I guess that's me, this year. So I just want you to know, starting on June 2nd, that I will be, and we don't be concerned, we have plenty of folks that are already being raised up for the teaching team. So over the summer, from June 2nd to Labor Day weekend, I will be on sabbatical. A little bit about what the Lord has already put on my heart for this is I got 91 days, right? And so I've already mapped it out. I want to read through the whole Bible in 91 days. And so it's 342 verses a day. And so I'm so stoked about this, because I've always wanted to read through the Bible in a very short context and really seek to kind of, I'm just going to write and see what God does with it. This is exactly what, by the way, Rick Warren did. In the mountains of California, had no objective to write Purpose-Driven Life. It was during a sabbatical. And so I'm not looking to write Purpose-Driven Life 2 or anything, but I am seeking to just get in His Word, and I'm excited about that time. The other two things the Lord's laid on my heart is I'm going to do a Samaritan's Purse domestic mission trip, just me. Like, I don't have to, like, it's just going to be me. Like, I don't have to coordinate the group or run Bible studies at night. I just get to be there as a servant, and I'm super excited about that. And also, one of the things the Lord's laid on my heart is I'm going to go visit at least one, maybe two of our, I'm just so excited, of our international missionaries. So I'm super, super excited about that. So can't wait. So those are some of the things that the Lord's laid on my heart for that. You know, I'm trying not to overplan it, because it is a sabbatical, right? So, but I'm just excited because those things have been laid on my heart. So June 2nd, and I'm so thankful for the men that have already stepped up and said, you know, I'm willing to preach during that time, and excited about what God will do in and through that. Let me finish with my heart for you guys. Please abide. Please. Look, the Christian life is about sitting at Jesus' feet. It's about staying connected to Christ. Like, everything flows out of that. The motivation, the inspiration, the direction, everything. If you wonder why you just don't feel empowered or driven, like, all of it. If a man abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So, my chief desire, I mean, I love what 3 John 1:4, there's only one chapter, it says, I have no greater joy than this, than to see my children, my spiritual children, is what John's talking about, walking in the truth. Guys, that is so my heart. Love God and love people. It covers everything, the law and the prophets. So qualify everything you do by loving God first, and loving others. Guard the unity of the body. Be one that protects the unity of our community. And be a peacemaker. And finally, would you pray for each other? Would you be intentional about being a community? I believe if we pray together, we stay together. But I also believe if we pray together, God, nothing great happens if it doesn't find its foundation in prayer and trusting God. And with that said, would you stand? We're going to pray, and the worship team's coming, and we're going to wrap this up. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the reminder that, Lord Jesus, that the church is yours and you're the head. And we've got nothing to worry about because you're a good God and you're a faithful King. And this kingdom that you've planted in us is meant to be shared. Help us to be the light of the world. Help us to guard unity, to sit at your feet, to love you and love others. Help us to pray without ceasing and to love you more than we love ourselves and anything else, Lord. Help us to cast down idols and help us to give you everything that we are. And again, I pray for those that have stood to embrace the call of missionary. Lord, I pray that you'd empower them for this purpose. And now as we stand, Lord, help us, Holy Spirit, help us to sing, but to sing with all of our hearts, to declare you, Lord, and to love you with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Faith Fellowship, St. Pete, in St. Petersburg, Florida. More information about Faith Fellowship can be found at faithfellowshipstpete.org.